Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. We come to you from my basement out here on Eastern Plains, Colorado, and have been broadcasting for some 16 years. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me today. Thanks, Bill, for joining us in my palatial...
Bunker. Mm-hmm. Palatial is not the word I would have used.
Well, it was the only adjective that came to my mind at the time.
Yeah, I can think of a few more.
Well, yeah. We're kicking back and drinking Bies and Izzy's today.
Yep.
As we air these programs today, we're going to deal with the problem of drugs and the pharmaceuticals. And I suppose most everybody knows by now that a U.S. judge in Oklahoma ruled that pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson must pay the $572 million for contributing to the opioid addiction crisis. And apparently there's other movements in that direction as well. Purdue Pharma jumped in and settled for $10 to $12 billion for their participation in the existing crisis. So what we want to do, Bill, first is look at the ideas. It's the ideas that have brought about the consequences of this massive increase in the number of deaths from opioid overdoses and addictions. And so I think we need to think first of the fact that America has crossed over the line of despair. There has been a significant increase in the use of drugs, whether it be over-the-counter, under-the-counter, what have you. There certainly has been an increase in the use of drugs since the 1970s. You thought we had a problem with LSD and other drugs in the 1960s and 70s. This problem is orders of magnitude worse than what we were dealing with in the 70s. And that's because of this shift. We have walked over the line of despair. It's not just the rock and rollers. It's not just an occasional drug overdose on the part of a 24-year-old drummer in some band. These are kids. These are our kids. These are our grandkids. These are people associated with our churches, our communities. These are the guys next door. This is going mainstream now. I think what's happening, Bill, is we have walked over the line of despair. And we see that certainly in the art forms. We see it in the music forms. There is less and less of a sense of hope in a society that's been indoctrinated into this Nietzschean, hopeless, nihilistic worldview.
Well, you see it in the medical arts as well. I mean, it used to be that a physician would take the Hippocratic Oath. And although it comes from a pagan culture, a Greek culture that swore by different gods, the oath itself said that it would not give, that a physician swore not to give a woman an abortive remedy.
Mm-hmm.
And that a physician would not use his art, his skill, and misuse it to mistreat people with drugs or with surgeries, that life was to be valued. And because of that abandoning of something as simple as the Hippocratic Oath, you know, you see abortion run rampant, you see the value of life go down the tubes, and you see the opioid addiction rise.
And how many states have legitimized doctor-assisted suicide and euthanasia?
Exactly.
In just the last 6 or 7 years? There has been a institutional stepping over the line of despair that's going on right now. Friends, we're looking at the zeitgeist moving more in the direction of suicide, national suicide, institutional suicide, and, of course, the legalization of drugs. You know, Proverbs, that is God's word. The book of Proverbs gives us the principle. It is strong drink for the dying. That's Proverbs Chapter 31, there is strong drink provided for the dying. So drugs are provided for those who are on a death trajectory. A number of years ago, this would have been maybe 5-6 years ago, we did an interview, Bill, with a Christian doctor who spoke of end-of-life decisions and such. I thought he was very careful pro-life doctor, but understood that, you know, at points people are on the death trajectory. That is, people are dying and they need to be on a morphine drip. And that sort of thing does happen, and we receive that. We understand that. That's the principle from Proverbs. Proverbs does allow for this.
You know, to relieve pain.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It's for that purpose. I mean, mm-hmm. pain management is a big concern and a problem with those who are reaching the end of their lives.
That's right. But ungodly doctors will sometimes keep people on a drug regimen even when they are not on a death trajectory, and that's more or less accommodating a suicidal culture, and I think that's the issue that we're running into even with this opioid crisis that we're going through right now. What's happening with Americans is that they're putting themselves on a death trajectory. They're committing suicide slowly, so to speak. And this is a form of doctor-assisted suicide. We've already spoken of how doctor-assisted suicide has been, you know, legitimized. And here is a slow-motion form of doctor-assisted suicide. America's really cultivating something of a death culture. We've killed 80 million babies, and now people are killing themselves. And drugs are something of a slow way to commit suicide. Lately, I've had the opportunity to counsel folks that have been trying to get off drugs. They're on a repenting trajectory, so to speak. And thankful for that. You know, they're finding that Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is their salvation and their redemption. But we contrasted cocaine and marijuana with Jesus. And cocaine and marijuana addictions is sort of like the devil's redemption plan. You know, he saves you from the terrible reality of your life by showing you not to feel so much, and he puts you on a direct death trajectory by, you know, putting people on the meth and putting them on the cocaine and such. So the devil comes to steal, to rob, and to destroy, but Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So to contrast the two salvations, I think there is a perception that the drugs can give you something of a salvation, but it's a demonic salvation. It's a slow motion death. Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. And as post-Christian America is choosing between Christ, who is really a savior, and drugs, which really are the devil's form of salvation, we need to press Americans to see that, you know, only Christ can give us that hope. Only Christ can give us that salvation, that comfort, and hope, and give life that meaning that we need, instead of taking the escapistic route of drugs. Scripture is also clear on this. Listen, friends, be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5 also brings out the works of the flesh, including envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me go with Proverbs chapter 23 before we take the break, friends, real quick. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. And then also Isaiah 50 or 5 verse 11. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them, the harp, the strings, the tambourine, the flute, and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. And that is, I think, what is clear here is that the wicked are not regarding God. They're not regarding the work of the Lord. And that's the fatal mistake here. It's not just the fact that they are running down this road towards intoxication, towards these drug addictions and so forth. It's the fact that they are missing out on the works of the Lord. They're so immersed in their entertainment, their partying, their distractions, their drunkenness, that they fail to see the salvation work of God or even the judgment of God. And that, my friends, is the saddest part of it all. They miss out on the salvation of God, the mighty work of God in salvation, because they are blinding themselves to it. So, friends, drunkenness is the work of the flesh. Drunkenness and drug addictions are a sin. Strong drink is only for the dying, and that's only a temporary measure. And Christians do not participate in drunkenness and drunken parties. That's not our lifestyle. These are not our habits. And that is the summary of what Scripture says about drunkenness, intoxication, and drug use. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we deal with the drug opioid crisis that's going on in America today.
You know, Kevin, and you mentioned Isaiah 5:11. What are those who rise early in the morning to run after their dreams, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine? And I understand that people have pain, that people have either physical pain or emotional pain, suffer loss. And I can understand why somebody would crawl into a bottle. If they didn't know the Lord,
they're running to something.
They're running to try to alleviate the pain and the suffering. And that's why, where shall we go except to the Lord?
That's right.
You know, that's the truth. But even Christians get trapped in these addictions, unfortunately. Even Christians can get seduced. And we need to guard ourselves. We need to remind ourselves of what God's Word says. And we need to encourage government to do its job, which is to further good and punish evil.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what's happening is government has bought into a secular worldview, so government assumes the position of God, mm-hmm. and therefore government tries to provide the solution and the escape for people,
yeah.
and as a result, they end up exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, as long as government ignores its responsibility under God's law, and God's law does require government to deal with the problem of negligence when doctors are negligent, for example, we'll get to that in just a moment, and also when people are committing crimes under the influence, when that happens, indeed, there needs to be a government intervention and a severe intervention, especially if somebody is, you know, running down a kid in the parking lot while under the influence of drugs or alcohol and so forth. So government has a responsibility before God to deal with the negligent issues. But biblical law does not speak of illegalizing intoxicating drink and drugs. And when governments attempt to do this, of course, they tend to be very, very ineffective at it. And then we've seen this. With the most severe drug laws in the history of the country, we spent $1 trillion on a drug enforcement program since the 1980s. And the results are right in front of us, Bill. 4,000 drug deaths in 1980, 16,000 drug deaths in 1999, and
wow.
an unprecedented 70,000 drug deaths last year. So the grand result of a $1 trillion drug enforcement program, are you ready for this? The great success of government in the area of regulating drugs. Are you ready for this? Drum roll, please. An increase of 17.5-fold in drug deaths since 1980, since that war on drugs began. I would not call that a success.
It's the same with the war on poverty. We see the similar results when government exceeds its jurisdiction and tries to, take over a jurisdiction that the church should have over. And that is speaking truth and grace to people and giving them hope rather than giving them drugs.
You're right. It's a trust in government to solve our problems for us. And as you mentioned, Bill, there is a solution to our problems, and that is the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ can save us from our drug problems and from our hopelessness, and from our despair. Christ has come to save us. The government can't save us. And still in the back of people's minds, Bill, I think people are saying, I doubt that God is powerful enough to help the situation.
That's true.
I think people are thinking that. I think
yeah.
they're thinking, God, you know, who created heaven and earth, there's no way he can help us here.
Right. It's they think it's too simple a solution.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Jesus is too simple a solution for a drug problem. And, you know, as a friend of mine likes to say, Greg Steer from Dare to Share, he says, if you think that it's easy believism to believe in a God who died 2,000 years ago, then you're welcome to that, you know. But that's not easy believism. That's reality. Mm-hmm. Jesus died on the cross to set us free from sin and from death eternally.
And if you think about this, Bill, if God, who created heaven and earth, you know, the ultimate power, the ultimate good, is going to bring about a salvation, don't you think it's probably going to be better, I would say even better than the federal government's salvation plan? And that there's tongue-in-cheek there. You get that.
Yeah.
There's tongue-in-cheek. I mean, if God, you know, all powerful, all good, all wise, brings about a salvation for us, will it be more effective than the government attempting to solve the drug problem in the United States of America?
Yeah.
And of course it will.
If the government would bring itself in line with God's word, then we would see an alleviation of this problem, because the government would be enacting biblical policies and principles to address this issue. And they would be operating under God's law, but they're not.
For the remainder of the program, Bill, I'd like to go back to the lawsuits that have been levied against the pharmaceutical companies. And I've got a lot of beefs against the pharmaceutical companies. I don't particularly like spending, you know, $147 a pill and that sort of thing. You know, there's some things that bother me about the American pharmaceuticals. But let's get back to principle and biblical principle here. If there is liability, and there is liability, I believe the doctors are liable. The doctors should be held liable when they are guilty of gross negligence. And I refer to Exodus 21, 20, and 29, the bull that's wont to push his horn. Certainly, if the bull has been known to push its horn in the past, that it's he's done damage. He tends to bring about the death of somebody, then the person who is in charge of feeding out those pills that could do serious damage to people's lives is responsible.
Right.
And
there's a chain of responsibility here, and it does start with the doctors, but the doctors are encouraged by the drug companies to prescribe such drugs for a variety of reasons, for monetary gain or for the hope that it will alleviate pain and suffering. So there's a whole chain of responsibility here, from the user all the way up to the provider.
Well, I would certainly say that the doctor is most aware of what is going on in a certain patient's life, because every patient is different, and you know, some patients are on a death trajectory. And so a doctor will make the choice to continue to administer the painkillers over a period of time. So the doctor should know. The doctor should be responsible.
Yeah, they're the line of defense.
They're absolutely first.
They're that thin blue right line, there. As we say. They're the police of the medical society. And and because we've abandoned a biblical worldview, and because we no longer view people as created beings who reflect the nature of the Creator, who are made in His image. It's a bent, it's a fallen, misshapen image, but it is to be valued. Then doctors turn from serving the patients to serving themselves and serving their own pocketbook too often.
Right. Greed oftentimes plays into this. But I think greed also plays into the lawsuits as well, so we need to be aware of these sorts of things.
$572 million judgment against Johnson & Johnson. $572 million.
A fair amount of money. Guess who's going to pay for these lawsuits? In the end, it's going to be us that will pay for it. You know, we'll be receiving the costs as the consumer. And I think these sorts of lawsuits will open up to far more liability to other businesses as well, whether it be automotive manufacturers or you name it. I think there will be other lawsuits, gun manufacturers, for example, and so forth. If somebody used a gun to kill somebody, then the gun manufacturers may be held liable for that and so forth and so on. So we need to be aware of these sorts of things. And again, friends, it's Exodus 21, 26 through 29 that give us the principle for this. And here's one more thing. I think insurance companies and Medicaid and Medicare should be at least a little bit concerned that their money is paying for drug addictions. But then they just pass it on to Obamacare, and then the government turns around and pays for the addictions while they saddle the drug companies with $10 billion in lawsuits and, and so on it goes. So.
And that's why government should not be involved in this.
Well, that's for sure. Uh-huh.
Because they should not be involved in welfare. They should be involved right. in administering justice.
And sadly, much of the welfare turns into these drug addictions, and on it goes. Friends, the solution, of course, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And as our systems refuse to fear God and to receive their moral instruction from the Word of God, you're going to see craziness. Everybody's going to be doing almost everything wrong. And at the end of the day, friends, if the fear of God is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, we are going to see a massively messed up society all around us. And at the end of the day, we have to believe that God's salvation plan is better than the devil's salvation plan. And so it turns out that the gospel is going to be the answer to societal's problems. There's nothing government can do to solve the problem of the present zeitgeist, which has assigned people to a hopelessness, which has pressed people across the line of despair. The only thing that is going to bring people back to hope is the message that Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again from the dead on the third day and guarantees for us a final resurrection, final glory, final reconciliation of all things to himself, a final perfection, a final glorification for all of us. And so we're not going to be sitting in this world thinking, I've got to make my best life now. I've got to make this heaven on earth, because friends, this ain't heaven. And Bill, one of the most, I think, important lessons that we need to learn is that, you know, there is a heaven and this ain't it. I think that may be the best lesson that all of us need to remember. We are not here to make this a heaven.
Right.
And we're not going to get a heaven out of this.
The whole point is that we're trying to avoid suffering. And suffering is the result of living in a fallen world. It's
a
result of our rebellion against God's law. And even Christians suffer. Even Christians die. And even Christians will face grief and pain. But the world's solution is external. The Christian's solution is internal, and that is a relationship with the one who made you.
And the world's solution is temporal?
Yes.
And the Christian solution is?
Eternal.
Eternal. Thank you. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations radio broadcast. And I'd encourage you to my little book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand some of the worldviews that have affected the way that Americans live today. Ideas have consequences, and we are living out those ideas now, but ultimately, of course, it's coming back to the Word of God, the truth of God, and the resurrection of Christ as our ultimate truth and the ultimate reality that gives us the hope for the future. That wraps up this edition of the program. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. If you have questions, if you have anything to add to the program, please, anytime, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio with me, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.